Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? Welcome to Timothy Hodge Show. Shout out to everybody for listening and tuning in. I'll be right when I jump into Anita Baker, and I'll be right back.
Hello, Mr. Hodge, how are you?
Hi, Ruby, my Misty, how are you?
Fine.
I'm honored to have you, and I thank you for taking time out to come on the show and just share with us. First of all, I thank you so much for all that you've done for the African-American and black community and opened many doors for us, including myself. I thank you so much, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do that. Misty?
Yes.
Okay.
Could you speak up just a little bit?
Can you hear me now, Misty?
Yeah, that's better. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I apologize.
Thank you. That's okay. No, the volume was down on this phone.
Okay, I apologize about that.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So, how have you been doing?
Fine. You know, I mean, I've been very lucky and alive and, you know, breathing in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't breathe any other way, can you?
No. I saw you on Monique, and I said I had to have you over here because I've admired you for many years. For over 25 years, I've admired you and watched your career. You're such a legendary actress, and I feel as though they haven't gave you the honor that you should have. But you know, go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything. I'm just saying, things have changed in such markedly since I've been in this business. When going in it, it wasn't something that I thought about going into. It was just something that I was all along. That my mother, you know what I mean? I didn't make a conscious decision to become an actor, you know what I mean? It's just sort of something I've been doing since I could stand up straight because of my mother, my stepmother. Since I could walk, I think I've been reciting poetry and reading stories, and because she'd been a teacher and studied under Du Bois, and she remained a teacher all her life. Even my father's teacher, because she married my stepmother, you know, who married my my father was about 12 years younger than she, 13 years younger. And so she was raising all of us. So I grew up in an atmosphere where I could read before, as long as I don't remember not being able to read, you know what I mean? and enjoying words and being introduced to the poets. And because she was what they call an elocution major or teacher. She'd been with words and as I say, this was and her father and the four of us were her life. And I can't remember not going to dancing school and being in concerts with the dance concerts and playing the piano and school being that was a follow through how teachers began to perceive of me as being capable of doing these things. So I can't say that I had a conscious move to become an actor or something like that. It's just I kind of like drifted into this work, but not drifted because as I look back on it now, she began to position me. You know, I was in Harlem. I took part in the El Floratoco contest. I remember 3 times. First time I won an honorable mention. Next time I won a second prize, and the third time I won the first prize. And she had a coach for me before we did the competition. So you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So I never had to. So well, oh, I got it. I had thought once I was going to be an actor in Hollywood, but I didn't really know what that was because she wouldn't let us go to the movies. We lived right across from a theater. But I knew enough from people's magazines and the few times I did go to know what acting was all about and to fall in love with French Artaud and get being thinking about such things as movie actors and stage actors and so I never really got a the whole thing of being part of the atmosphere and the profession.
Right.
It didn't really occur to me until I was like in high school.
Right.
Because it was just something that I did.
Right.
And when something was to, and then, but I did notice it in class, I would be called on different times to teachers. I would something to be read aloud, I read it. Something to be presented in assembly, So I had that sense of my capacities, you know what I'm saying? So that now I grew up like a worker in the field.
Wow.
And not really, I don't know how to describe it, because and then also what I found out when racism, the idea of racism, and I got to be, and I was always an activist, so I knew about racism, and so because my mother, I was walking picket lines and carrying kintans, collecting things, so my whole address to the field, to the whole idea of becoming an actor didn't really click until I got selected by the government and to work in one of those films for the soldiers, a propaganda film, and joined the American Negro Theater, which was a library on 35th Street. And in the basement, and my first play was, and then it was with that that I began to think about, was this such a creature as an actor?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what really sunk in,
How do you feel to have opened doors for so many actresses and actors that are out today? And how do you feel about that? You've opened so many doors for people, not just in television and film, but also in music and African Americans in general and entertainment itself. How do you feel? And you also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you also looked at as a pioneer. So how does all that feel, Ms. D?
Well, I'll tell you, I always think I owe so much to my stepmother, because we always had somebody else in our house that my mother was either helping through school or had been the product of some irregular marriage arrangement or parental unexpected people. And my mother was one of those people who I didn't know how, any other way how to be, but in terms of she was a sharing person, but also was also one of the people who respected a lot of you, you know, and so I grew up with the whole, you know, she thought. I learned that word gratitude early in my life. All four of us did, and you did what you could for me. You know what I'm saying? I thought those weren't conscious decisions as much as they were. Well, what do you do if you don't be black? What do you do if you don't do what my mother says?
Wow.
First of all, she was a strict disciplinarian. What do I do if I don't get an A? At least a B plus. Do I still come home? And she let me know that was okay to come. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like that. I didn't have alternatives with my mother. She and I'm thanking God for her every day, because I grew up knowing about racism and about the laws and the Constitution and all that before I even cared about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that explain anything to you? So I really don't deserve any credit in that sense. It's just, what happens to you if you don't bring home an A or B plus?
Right.
And I look at what happened to my brother, who wasn't very smart, whom she later found out that, he wasn't smart in school. But she just got to taught us all and let us all see that my brother was a genius in his own right. He might not be able to spell and read, but when she found that out, she took him out of the school where they said he wouldn't pass and all that, put him in another kind of school. He became an electric. For instance, when he got in the army, some of his buddies came by to see him one day. And when he told us all that everybody wanted Eddie to be in their unit, because if anything broke down, Eddie could fix it. And I remember, you know, because he was a genius with the electricity, and he and his friend, the cops almost arrested them because they'd been messing around, something interfered with the police. And it was my mother who I learned what a parent was from my stepmother. Yeah, when you see something in your kid, and she just went after it that was the purpose for which she was telling you what your purpose was in this life.
Right.
So I can't take any, I knew early on that I was supposed to be doing something with words, because when company came, we didn't have television, we had to do something. My sister and I played the piano, because who didn't have a piano? Who didn't play? Who didn't? You know, I came, although my brother took violin lessons, we took dancing lessons. You know, who didn't have to? And my friends' mothers had them doing, all of us, we had to take lessons from this particular group of people that I came from. And the schools, the public school system, racism, yes, but also in Harlem, there was an integration. It was a trembly affair, but I did have have white and black teachers. I had, you understand? So I come to respect. We're so lucky. I feel so lucky to have been surrounded by people who really knew what kids were. You know,
mm-hmm.
that they just don't grow up. You know, same thing with my friends. We didn't play in the street, not everybody, but Emma's kids didn't play in the street. You understand? We went to the store, and we better come right back.
Right.
And she believed in corporal punishment, and get your shoes ready for school tomorrow, your books here, and if not, in the middle of the night, you weren't supposed to. You said you had to get that together because you should have done that before you got in bed.
Right.
So I can't really take. I can just look back and think about and be so grateful for that woman, Emma, and to say, oh, that's what parenting is all about. Not so much but the discipline thing she did too. We thought she was so harsh, you know, but we had to make our beds. We had to scrub and clean our room. We had to, you know what I mean? And these report cards was like a day of reckoning every time we. So even though it may have been nerve wracking for us, because living in Harlem, growing up where I live, and being able to read so young, and I knew about lynching, and I knew how to read because I was reading. I don't remember when I didn't know how to read, and so. But she taught me something about parenting and about community and about what we're supposed to do with kids when you really love them. You make sure you get on the right track. I think about my brother because even though he never was a really good reader, but through my brother-in-law, Carl, who was a genius, he was a very bright man. He was involved with the first computers when they were the biggest refrigerators, you know. And he got my brother a job at IBM. And he stayed there till he died. And he invented things, and they gave him some certificates and a little money. I got those certificates and things. He didn't have an agent or somebody to, but I imagine that had he been, the things that he contributed would have, you understand. It was because she knew, well, he might not liked, but she put him without reading the books. The cops called him because they were setting up some kind of electrical connection between two businesses and hopping rooftops. I just can't describe it. So I only go on like this because I didn't really understand it all until I got grown and looked back at parenting myself and what's happening to the world now with children.
Right.
Oh, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, my mother, there's no way in God's name we would have fallen out and started screaming. And no way. I got to think, God, no way. So just ask me about when I decided. I don't remember deciding as much as being led to something that somebody saw in me. And then I realized that that's what human being is all about anyway. That's what education is all about. We are already who we are. It's somebody has to help us, lead us to who we are.
Right.
Parenting is about discovering.
Right.
Parents are about helping you discover who you are.
Right.
And so forgive me for talking, but in my old age, I said, oh God, I'm sure that people know all these things now that I'm understanding what happened. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Mhm. I understand. I'm learning history here, and I'm taking this all in. You know, you bring in history, and you're sharing. You give them such a life lesson.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I thank you for that so much. I've admired you for so many years.
And when people talk about, you know, for example, the civil rights movement, and you know, when the civil rights, I don't. As I look back at it, I don't remember not being part of the movement. I don't remember not having a can. I don't remember not being up and down picketing in front of a store like Bloomstein's in Harlem, and this, and I don't remember not picketing something with my mother. I remember being not tall enough to see above a short man's shoulder, and listening to some speaker. As soon as we could walk, I think my mother must have, when she got us all, she turned us into some kind of army, a movement army or something, because we didn't have a choice. You understand? We were part of the, we understood lynching, and we understood
right.
getting bad grades and racism, and because she was always telling us about it, and yet she had a great sense of humor.
Right.
So if I had to talk about anything, it would be about, oh my God, what responsibility we have as human beings to our children, not only our own children, but the children of the community. And every place I've gone and met somebody that my mother touched, they talk just like I'm talking. You know, so oh my God. That's the one thing I wish I did a little bit of it. I tried to, you know, help with a few scholarships, and because she was always, she was lucky too with the numbers and the horses and all stuff like that. I won't go into all that. But she was always helping somebody do something, and talking to the landlords and talking to the cops. I won't go into all that. Not talking, but she was a fighter. You understand? And I'm watching and listening to her all my life while I'm watching a bed bug crawl up somebody's shirt in a street corner meeting. You know. It's a fantastic respect I have for our capacity as adults to change the world and make a difference. You make me feel like crying, really, when I think about my mother. Somebody just showed me some pictures that brought me really to mind.
Well, Miss D, I'm not going to keep you no longer, and. But I'm honored to have had you on, and I wish you much success in everything. And I hope to see you in more films, because you know you created the
movie. Well, I'm lucky these days. You know, I'm working in films, and I come from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a worker, and from my father was a railroad worker, and he knew A. Philip Randolph, and he was my mother's husband. So you can, from what you can imagine, what he went through in terms of being a man and a father, but in those ways that he was so deeply grateful that. As a young man, when it didn't work out, there's no. I think it must have been his parents that got him to marry my stepmother, because his wife was and she was a beautiful person too. The couple of times I met my real mother, you know.
Right.
But anyway, don't let me talk you to death.
No. It was an honor, though, Miss D. And
mm-hmm.
Again, come back by the show. Come back by any time that you see fit. This is, you know, all you have. You're truly an honor. And thank you so much. Thank you so, so much.
And thank you. And did you ask me about a film, a show, or something? What did you want to ask me about?
I heard about your biography when you were on Monique's show.
Oh yes,
and I wanted my listeners to, if they could go pick it up, you know, and to read more about it. Cause I'm pretty sure it's something they could, you know, get out of, you know, help them through life.
Oh yes, I didn't know how to really promote it. It won a Grammy, you know, in 2000.
Congratulations! Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah, 2007, and I've had people say, "Oh, Louis, I've listened to this two or three times," and they see people who travel a lot. And so I'm tempted to read it again. And a couple of people have asked me about what I had thought about it should be a film. I said, no, I really didn't. But a couple of people have asked me, and I'm wishing to know more how you go about things like that. what'll happen with it will happen with it. I'm so glad we did it. Thanks to our oldest daughter, when she was, you know, she and it was going to be our 50th wedding anniversary, and we had been saying for 5 years we were going to write this book. And so she one day she said, "When are you going to write? When are you all going to write that book?" You know. And so we looked at each other. And we talked about it. So we started renting space in hotels, and because it seems like the only way we could get a loan enough to do that kind of work and then get people we needed to help us get it done. And I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we got it out there, because not only because it's about us, but because it's about a period that black people lived through, and
right.
And through my mother, we lived through North and South, and you know, we had a universal kind of exposure. So I won't talk you to death.
No, it's okay. Miss D, but thank you once again for coming on the show, and I really, truly appreciate you, and keep me in your thoughts and your prayers.
Thank you, and likewise you for me. Am I on doing the show now, or are we just interviewing me?
I'm interviewing you.
Oh, I see. It doesn't matter. I mean, that goes to show you. And I should keep you in my thoughts and prayers, and please keep us in yours.
I will most definitely, and I love you so much, and you'll be blessed.
Thank you. Right now, but blessings to you. Bye bye.
You take care, Miss D.
Thank you. Bye.
of my dream. Thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength. Survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. I thought I'd never live that way. But I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. Oh, I didn't know my own strength.
Yes, I did.
Was not built to break. No, no. I got to know my own
again, sort of like we used to do, 'cause you know it's overdue. Maybe we can, if you ain't got other plans, I know something we can do, 'cause you know it's overdue.
And you have time to yourself. Think of all the love that you get from me, that you can't find nowhere else. When you're far away and I'm not around, and temptation fills your heart, think of all the ways that I'm faithful, babe, but to replace me would be hard, 'cause there's nobody. Wanna. You can even behave like you don't care. You know, like I know that you ain't that foolish. Who you fooling? You won't ruin. We've been here all along. You ain't moving from what you got.
and women that wouldn't quite care to me. What you had in store was there for only me. Surely you know you took me by surprise. When I turned and looked, I saw that message in your eyes. There you were, out there on the floor. The way you move, girl, only made me want you more. I did not know you had me hypnotized to the movement of your body dancing in my eyes. I knew I had to hold you and make you mine. Don't want to control you, just have a good time in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me, oh, no, no, ecstasy, yeah. When you lay down next to me, I find it hard to be to concentrate. If I don't make my move down, it might be too late. I've got to make sure you don't get away. After all you done, girl, to make me wanna stay. All my life I've been searching for a star. Now my search is over, and here we are, living in ecstasy, yeah. When you lay down next to me, yeah, we're in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me.
Thank you.
he's leaving the light. He's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, 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 what's left of the world? The world he left behind. Not so long ago. He's leaving.
Leaving.
On that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Said he's going back.
Shout out to the wonderful and talented Miss Ruby D for coming on the show. You know, I really appreciate her. And I think everybody for listening and tuning in today to the show. Shout out to you all for listening in. Once again, thank you, Miss Ruby D, for blessing my airways with your wisdom. And thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. I'm going to leave you with